There's much too much ideology, not enough practical progress.
People are angry, and they are frustrated that perhaps it hasn't been a fast enough change.
Even at a time of enormous national challenge, the people's business is not getting done.
I don't want you to feel discouraged.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yes, in Frustration Nation yesterday, Lynn Scherr in for Celeste Headlee this morning, you could hear them kind of trying to achieve bipartisan consensus at the healthcare reform summit yesterday, sort of.
I definitely think there was an effort. I think that for some of the posturing that was there and all the gimmicks, so they had stacks of bills and papers and
charts.
The president sort of called them on that, which I thought was pretty interesting. But there did seem some individuals who did want to talk about it.
Well, here's Senator Lamar Alexander, a Republican of Tennessee.
And my request is this, is before we go further today, that the Democratic congressional leaders and you, Mr. President, renounce this idea of going back to the Congress and jamming through on a partisan vote through a little used process we call reconciliation, your version of the bill.
But the reconciliation majority vote scenario looks to be the one the Democrats are going to actually use to pass something in 6 weeks, the president said yesterday. And here's why, says Democrat Henry Waxman of California.
Mr. President, you're not going to be able to do this piecemeal. And I have doubts about whether the Republicans are going to help you, because I haven't heard a lot of willingness to come and work with you now, or did I hear it a year ago?
So there you have it. Not much of a compromise, a lot of intent, bipartisanship, not a whole lot in evidence out there in Frustration Nation. Nate Persily, professor of law and political science at Columbia University, joins us. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning.
And Melissa Harris-Lacewell is associate professor of politics and African-American studies at Princeton University. Good morning, professor.
Good morning.
So, Nate, let's talk about amendments to the Constitution. If people are frustrated with the lack of an ability to get things done, even if we are divided between the two parties, is there a constitutional amendment solution, and how would we get there?
Well, if you think passing health care is difficult, amending the Constitution is even more so. And it requires either action from the Congress, so you need two-thirds of each House to pass an amendment that's referred to the states, or you need three-quarters of the state legislatures to recommend a constitutional convention.
So it's worse than the 60-vote majority in the Senate. It's two-thirds. But couldn't the Senate just change its rules on the 60-vote cloture rule without a constitutional amendment?
That's right. But that itself would probably be subject to a filibuster. And so it would require that they allow for a majority vote to overturn the filibuster rule, but it's probably likely that the Republicans would filibuster that change.
All right, I'm dreaming you into a constitutional convention, Nate Persily. What amendment would you pass if you could do it tomorrow to tweak the Constitution?
Well, ironically, the amendment that I'd like to pass is the one that actually the Constitution says you're not even allowed to pass, which is the Constitution, even though it says you can amend it, says that each state shall be guaranteed two votes in the Senate. And actually, the Senate is the most unrepresentative body in our electoral system. And that is, in many ways, the source of the problem.
And getting more so based on the population shifts in the United States. Melissa Harris-Lacewell, associate professor of politics and African-American studies at Princeton University. What do you think the threshold is for talking about constitutional amendments based on, say, the history in America? Certainly the race question moved from politics into the constitutional amendment question a number of times through our history.
Sure. But let me say, I don't think we're anywhere close to that where we are right now. So I appreciate that all week you all have been talking about the Frustration Nation idea. But frustration is about right. And frustration is not a crisis. Listen, the notion that gridlock or that inefficiency is in and of itself a problem, I think we should pause. Our founders, in part, created a system that is meant to be inefficient, that is meant to not move forward quickly. I can solve gridlock for you with a good authoritarian dictator, right, who just passes rules that the dictator would like, to pass. But that's sort of.
Do you have one in mind? Do you have one in mind?
Yeah, sure. Look, I'd love to just, I'd love to run the country if I could just run it. I certainly don't want to be president and have to compromise with anybody. But if you want to make me dictator for life, I'm happy to take on the job. I'll get you some health care.
All right. So Commissar Lacewell, isn't it true, though, that the rules that preserve the minority's voice in, say, the Senate have morphed over the last generation to be much more obstructionist than they were originally intended to be.
Absolutely. And I do think, again, that frustration is appropriate. It's just that when we start amending the Constitution, we're in a situation that is not just about frustration. It's meant to be something that is more crisis-provoking. For example, the question of slavery, which, of course, divided the nation in a four-year civil war, and in many ways the legacy of which continues to divide the nation. I mean, this anxiety about the Senate, I think, is an appropriate one. I'm not sure that I would do away with the Senate, but I certainly would like to see the end of the Electoral College, which in some ways is also about the Senate. It's also about the fact that states are overrepresented in the Electoral College in the choice of the president, because, of course, every state is guaranteed that two Senate voice in the context of choosing the president as
and,
well.
And it makes the election a numbers game as well as a referendum on what the people think about. To both of you, but Nate, I'll begin with you. Alvina, one of our listeners in Western Kentucky says, we should have a parliament-style government where the president can dissolve the parliament if the Congress is not productive and order new elections. There's a constitutional amendment. What do you think of it, Nate?
One of the problems right now is that we have parliamentary parties with a divided government. And if you had a parliamentary government where basically you just had one house of Congress that would be dictating the rules, then you could vote the bums out and you would know what the consequences are. The problem now is that we have cohesive parties that are highly polarized, but we have a governmental system that doesn't allow one party effectively to run its policies through the system.
All right, Nate Persily, professor of law and political science at Columbia University. Harris Lacewell, isn't there a problem, though, that if there is too much frustration and things don't get done in traditional mechanisms of government, that there's impetus to move towards a dictatorship, even in the United States, before we go?
Well, I think the real issue is what voters will do, whether or not they will punish the GOP for being obstructionists or punish the Democratic Party for not getting things done.
And they've got the pictures to actually make that case from the healthcare reform summit yesterday. Melissa Harris-Lacewell, associate professor of politics and African American studies at Princeton University. Also, thanks to Nate Persily up there at Columbia.